Hello and welcome to Still Buffering, a cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I am Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McRoy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
So first of all, I just want you both to admit that you were wrong and I was right about Grease 2. Andrew Garfield was being interviewed and like in a video talks about how great Grease 2 is, how the music is so great. References like the exact same scene with Michelle Pfeiffer on that ladder, which is just like incredible. And I mean, basically, if Andrew Garfield says it's a great movie, then I was right.
I don't think this is a fair representation of my opinion. I think I had a very nuanced take that was somewhere between like and dislike. So I would just like, if Andrew Garfield is listening, I would just like it to be clarified that I did not hate the movie.
I did.
Well, and you were wrong because Andrew Garfield, star of Tick, Tick, Boom and Spider-Man, is right. So,
well,
the very best Spider-Man because he's the middle Spider-Man. Yes. And generally the middle things are the best.
No.
I like the old ones.
Now, hold on.
the Empire Strikes Back of Spider-Man, if you will. I don't know what that means now.
The most frustrating.
Oh, all right.
I sent you all a picture before we started recording, and I gave Riley some context, but I didn't give you any context, Tay.
No,
and
you sent me a picture that was some sort of Cronenberg situation, nightmare scape. What is that?
This morning, I was running out the door to go to Harmony House, and I grabbed my usual breakfast, which is the Diet Dr. Pepper and a cutie, the little oranges that they call cuties.
A well-balanced breakfast.
Got to work on that, but okay, moving on.
From the resident physician.
I try to just drink 2 cups of coffee and not soda in the morning, but I didn't get my second cup of coffee in. I didn't want to travel with coffee. It was a whole thing. Anyway,
oh my God.
So I drank a soda. But the point is, I got the cutie out of the fridge and I noticed it had a tiny hole in the top. And I thought, well, I mean, sometimes the girls are like messing with things. They might have been holding it. I don't know.
You were fine with eating something their dirty fingers had been jabbed into.
That's most of the things in my house. So, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So I drive to Harmony House and I get parked and pay the meter. And before I go in, I think I'm going to treat myself real quick in my car to this cutie. I'm gonna have a little private me moment where I eat my cutie and I peel it and then I open it up and right in the middle of my cutie is a goldfish cracker. A perfectly preserved goldfish cracker. I mean, it was a little mushy once I touched it. Like, it doesn't look that way in the picture. Like, once you touch it, it kind of like disintegrates. So Charlie had taken this cutie to school, decided she didn't want to eat it, but she did want to poke a hole in the top and shove a goldfish cracker into the middle of it.
Well,
bring it home, put it in the fridge, and trick mom.
I mean, that's a pretty good trick. It worked.
I'm impressed that she managed to shove it in there and have it stay whole.
Yeah,
like, I would have thought it would have just like crumbled.
And I mean, the hole was really small. I mean, like, obviously it was big enough to get the goldfish cracker through, but like, no bigger. It was exactly the size you'd need it to be to get a goldfish cracker through.
For a Houdini moment. I maybe was she looking out for you? Because I was going to say, like, you know, my problem with your breakfast isn't, I mean, soda's not great sustenance wise, but like just a cutie, that's not enough. So maybe she was looking out like, no, you need a balance, bro. You need another orange thing. For breakfast.
Yeah, it was an orange. And she had options of what color gold, because we get them like the multicolored goldfish.
Of course
it
was an orange one.
But she picked the orange one to go in the orange.
Of course.
Now,
Have you told her you did this? Was she like experimenting? Was she saving it there for something? Did you tell her you took it and ruined it?
She doesn't know yet. She was at school. I was sitting in my car.
she was infusing that orange with the orange goldfish.
Now, the hard part is that I had this moment where I'm sitting there in my car staring at this, which, man, I wonder what people walking by thought, because I'm just like sitting there staring forlornly at this open cutie.
And that woman's having a rough morning. I've never seen someone cry over a cutie.
I'm just staring at it and I'm thinking, do I eat it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Just peel off the goldfish.
Yeah, don't eat
it.
The
was
goldfish.
So mushy. It was not. It didn't peel off. It just went everywhere.
Just scoop out the goldfish and eat it.
I don't know. I mean, savory and sweet. I think it could work. You just kind of just rub it around on there and get all the goldfish equally distributed on the cutie.
Ugh, I just had no concept of how long it had been there.
I mean, like watermelon feta, that works. Maybe orange and wet goldfish works.
Ugh. So I didn't have my breakfast. But anyway, that was my... Yes, I have no idea why she did it. I can't wait to ask Charlie later today what was that all about. Please, please explain. Please help me understand what you did to this orange and why.
just a little science.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe she's going to be really hurt. Maybe she had some plans.
She had some plans for it?
Maybe.
I mean, I guess she could replicate it.
No, maybe it'll never be that perfect again.
You've got to replace it before she gets home so she doesn't know. It's like when you have the actual goldfish die in your house and you have to get a new one so your kids won't fall apart.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did we ever do that to you? That
Many
feels
times.
Like, yeah, that feels like something we would have done to you.
I had Sister Barbara Fish.
Sister Barbara Fish.
That I then found out was, I think, Sister Barbara Fish, like, 6. Because I'd had that fish for, like, 2 years. I was like, man, she's getting old.
You know, Sister Barbara Fish was after I moved out of the house. Was she your sister named like Barbara Fish, or was she a nun?
Unclear.
Okay.
I always thought she was a nun, but I didn't know why. Like, I never understood why you wanted the fish to be a nun. I was just like, oh, Riley wants her fish to be a nun.
Why did I name it that?
I don't know. That's just what you called it.
I genuinely have no idea where that came from. I just very clearly remember that name.
I like the idea that you're like, this fish is a nun. This is Barbara. This is Sister Barbara. It's a nun.
Sense.
And then you were like, but it's still a fish. So I better call it Sister Barbara Fish.
So no one gets confused.
So nobody thinks it's a human nun.
No.
Like living in my house.
that I keep it in a bowl of water in the kitchen.
Okay, or just all fish, his last name is Fish. Maybe that's that.
You think that's true?
Yeah.
Are all fish related?
Probably, right? Like, it started out, there was, in the beginning, there was a fish. Now there are many.
This is dangerous territory. We're going to get a review that says we're a very bad fish podcast.
No, we're a very bad fish podcast
we
now.
We are, though.
All fish are related, and their last names are all fish.
And some of them are nuns.
They can be nuns.
They can marry God. They can join religious orders. That's fine. Why not? Why limit that fish? Why limit Sister Barbara?
No, Sister Barbara Fish was one of those moments that I learned of several years later that in the span of 2 years, I didn't keep one fish alive. I kept like 8 fish alive, and that was That was a moment for me.
You know, I like the positive spin you put on that. I kept 8 fish alive.
Not at the same time.
I didn't keep one fish alive for a long time, but I did keep 8 fish alive for very short periods of time.
For a very short period of time.
Yeah, that's how we're gonna phrase it that way. Good job.
Uh-huh. Yay. It's not too late to be a vet.
I think I'd be very bad at it.
Too late for 8 generations of Barbara Fish.
Were they all nuns?
Yeah. Sister Mary Barbara.
You murdered a whole convent.
Sister Mary Ann. You know, all the sisters.
Oh, oh no. Where is your God now, Barbara Fish?
Oh, no. Barbara Fish.
Is there a fish god, you think? Or is it all one?
Is it just the one?
Who knows?
What if there's only a fish god?
Let's keep going with this.
Questions for this podcast.
A lot of people are going to be very disappointed.
I'm sorry.
So,
Camp Rock.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sitting there going, how do you go from Fish Con to Camp Rock? A question Joe Jonas never considered.
There you go. We're talking about Camp Rock, which ended up being a very good idea for me. I decided we were doing this 2 weeks ago now,
mm-hmm.
and then ended up stranded in my room at our parents' house with COVID for a week. So revisiting the Camp Rock movies and many other Disney Channel movies was a welcome distraction.
How many are there? I just watched the first one.
There are only two.
Oh, okay.
So it's not quite a High School Musical, you know, full series. Only two. They're both pretty good. They're different, but we're just going to talk about the first one, which, if you're unaware, is a Disney Channel original movie starring Demi Lovato and Joe Jonas and several other those Disney kids.
I didn't know those Disney kids.
I did, but just because it was of that time where, like, all of them were on the same TV shows and movies. And then there was, like, the Disney Channel games where they had, like, various teams of Disney Channel stars that all played a bunch of big team games against each other for an entire summer on TV. It was
kind of like amazing. Real World versus Road Rules, but for kids.
Yeah, except it was like fun outdoor summer. I mean, it was stuff like Tug of War and Capture the Flag, and there were like four teams of Disney Channel stars.
Like Wild and Crazy Kids.
Yeah, there you go.
Precisely.
Camp, oh man, I missed that show. That
Camp
was a great show.
Rock. Demi Lovato goes to a camp, which, you're not going to believe this, it's called Camp Rock. And they learn how to be music stars. Joe Jonas is a very angsty celebrity singer.
Mm-hmm.
And hijinks ensue.
Now, they use the word rock loosely, I would say.
Yeah.
I don't know why I expected that they would actually rock.
I mean, some of the songs are pretty good.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying
the songs
are bad.
Are pretty good.
I'm questioning the genre only,
no,
not the quality.
Yes. Yeah. No,
if you were to compare the musical stylings of Camp Rock to, like, School of Rock, very different employment of the word rock.
Very different.
This is true.
Yes. I will say what's interesting about this that I hadn't really realized until I watched Camp Rock and then Camp Rock 2 and then all the High School Musical movies is that Camp Rock is a Disney Channel movie that's a musical, but they never just break out into song. They only sing, like, within the context of the movie when it would make sense for people to sing.
Yeah.
The second movie, that all goes out the window. Oh. They're just singing all the time. Songs all over the place. But the first movie there are lots of songs, but only in the sense that, like, someone's performing it's usually at someone's performing.
That's interesting. I feel like the movies, like, I feel like they should have different names for what that, you know what I mean? Like, I would have said this is a movie musical, but now that you say that, it's not in that sense.
Yeah. There's no breaking out into song. Yeah. I mean, there is, but, like, they all do it together and they're all acknowledging that they're singing and that is a part of the plot.
Right.
Which is different than, like, La La Land. They all break out into song and dance in the middle of the highway, but really that didn't happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about that. Were they worried that, this came after High School Musical, right?
Yes.
I assume.
I did not look that up to be sure, but I'm pretty positive that it did. The first one came out in 2008. So, yeah. This was after High School Musical.
Because I would assume they were trying to build on that sort of idea.
I would think so. I mean,
kids love watching cute teens sing songs to each other.
We really do.
That's true. I mean, I you know, that's the thing. I like it. It's kind of a cheesy teen musical romance, like in the style of Grease type of movie. You know, I like that kind of thing. I'm never going to say I dislike it.
Yeah.
It's predictable, but, like, that was the fun of movies like that. You didn't have to stress. You didn't have to worry. Yeah. You kind of knew things would work out.
Yeah.
That's nice.
It borrows from many different stereotypical teen movie plots to the point where by the end you're like, I'm not entirely sure what has happened. For example, Joe Jonas hears Demi Lovato singing, but doesn't see Demi Lovato. And then at some point there's a very Cinderella-esque, has all of the girls in the camp sing for him to see if they're the one that he heard singing. And then also Demi lies about their mom being the cook and says they're the president of Hot Tunes China, whatever. I don't know. It's like all these different, like, plot devices that were all thrown into one. Like, there's the mean girl, but, you know, she's not actually mean because she's a bad person. She's got a lot going on at home and her mom doesn't pay attention to her.
That's Disney Channel all over there. Nobody's ever actually bad.
No. she gets redemption at the end. There's the quiet sidekicks who end up being the stars. Mm-hmm. You've got to have an Alison Stoner character who's really good at producing music, which is the funniest part of the movie for me.
You mean the keyboard?
Yes. Because she goes, check this, and then hits a few buttons, and it's like, and they're like, wow, she's good.
Please describe that scene, though, what, like, she's doing with her arms. I don't know.
Oh, and she's performing in the cabin?
Yes.
I don't know.
I don't know how to describe what happens there, and when Demi Lovato's like, she's so good.
She's really good. Yeah, Alison Stoner, who now is queer. I don't know exactly how is queer, which is great. Many, many Disney stars now are out. But she is a producer, is like her talent. Everyone mm-hmm. there has like some sort of musical skill. Right. Either they play an instrument or they dance or they sing. And she wants to produce music. So she's standing up behind her keyboard playing these sick beats, but then like hits her head with her arm and like does kind of like a little robot thing and like twists her arms around while she's like hitting all the buttons. I don't know.
That was the wildest.
I'm doing it while I'm sitting here as if you can see me.
I don't know. Watch the video. I don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
Well, she wants to do the same thing that, oh no, she's one of the Bellas. Her name's not Bella.
Anna Kendrick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She does in her movies where they sing songs too, right?
Yeah. They always have one of those little pads that has all like the, I mean, it's like this. It has all like the mushy colored buttons on it uh-huh. that they hit. And you like each one has a different sound. And it's always them like sitting there like pressing the buttons in a rhythm. And they're like, wow, look
is
at that.
Is that how music is made?
I don't know.
I always want, I know I'm an adult. I wouldn't put it in my mouth. But those buttons look very edible.
yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't taste it, but I want to taste it.
There are 8 of those buttons on the soundboard right now.
It's a good thing I'm not in that room.
Yeah, well, they do look very edible. I mean, they do. Yeah. I'm surprised my kids haven't tried to take a bite of those.
They may have.
Are there any goldfish hidden in
them? I know.
Probably.
Goldfish smashed on them.
One plot point that I thought was funny, I was watching a guy I watch on YouTube do like a funny commentary on this movie. And of course, which is very Mean Girls esque, the friend that Mitchie Demi Lovato makes at camp, who is Alison Stoner, who produces music, is not quote unquote cool. Mm-hmm. So Demi wants to be friends with the cool girl, Tess, who's also the mean girl, of course.
Right. She's too cool.
She's too cool. Her song, she is actually too cool to know you.
Yeah.
But of course, just like how, you know, Janice used to be friends with Regina uh-huh. and then they had a falling out, Alison Stoner, Caitlin, I think is her character's name, used to be friends with Tess, but then they had a falling out because Tess saw her as competition. But Alison Stoner is a producer and Tess is a lead singer. Mm-hmm. That's not competition. That's like, you all should work together. You all would work very well together, actually. One of you makes music, one of you wants to sing music.
Classic Mean Girl stuff.
I know.
I know.
That too cool song, you know. very on the nose.
Yep.
I'm too cool for this dress, I believe. Mm-hmm. Too cool for this dress is how it starts. Which, like, when I first saw that, I was like, is this like an I'm too sexy ripoff?
for Disney age children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For Disney children, it's about how she's way too cool for this dress she's wearing. Mm-hmm. Not sexy.
No. Too cool.
Too cool.
Yes.
Well, they're children.
Right.
Let's keep this.
Yeah.
Keep it G-rated. Which again, at the very end, when there's a big emotional moment with Joe Jonas and Demi Lovato, they don't kiss. Mm-mm. No, they would never. They hold hands.
How old were these kiddos? They look young.
You mean in real life?
Like in the movie? Like, yeah. I mean, so I know not always, but typically, even when the actors are playing, you know, teens, they're mm-hmm. not teens.
Right.
Well, okay. So in this movie, Demi Lovato was 16 in real life.
Yeah, okay.
Well, I would buy that. They look young.
Joe Jonas was 19. So I'd say they were all around that age.
Hmm.
You know, Disney Channel used to do that a lot more. They used to cast a lot more teens in those teen shows. Yeah. Now, obviously, they don't.
I like it, too, because I don't know if this has changed with music production and editing over time, or if this is a mark of their voices being younger, there's something, especially about Demi Lovato, that sounds a little bit unpolished. Mm-hmm. And I mean that in a good way. I'm not, this is not an insult.
Yeah.
You know, they're a very good singer, but like, there's something about the, it sounds young. It sounds not quite perfectly trained yet.
But it's, it doesn't sound super auto-tuned.
Is like it very auto-tuned?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. Like, it doesn't to me.
Yeah. Yes. No, I was going to say, I don't think it does either.
Yeah. Yeah, especially that scene, which I honestly couldn't tell. There's a, Mitchie gets up in front of the class and sings the song that they've written, like a little bit of it with no music. And I couldn't tell if that was lip syncing and that was previously recorded or if that was live, like just Demi singing in that moment. Probably just for like editing's sake, it probably was pre-recorded and done over, but it didn't sound like it was. It sounded like Demi was just singing.
It's very breathy singing too. Mm-hmm. Like you can hear all the pauses for breath. I don't know. I know that's a weird thing to notice, but I notice it because it's so often clipped out of music that it surprised it. It gave it kind of a, I don't want to say rock, but it did give it a raw edge.
It was rock.
Well,
there's the rock.
There's the rock.
But it was, I mean, it is nice. Yes. I enjoy that. I enjoy the idea that I'm really hearing somebody sing.
Yeah.
And I think you do feel that in the movie.
Demi Lovato was one of those rare Disney Channel stars that also had a music career, but it wasn't because they just decided, like, I have a popular TV show, a movie, I'm going to sing. Like, they genuinely have a very good voice. I mean, even now when they make music, like, they have a great singing voice, which I think you can tell by the little amount of editing it sounds like they did to Demi's songs. Mm-hmm. But then if you listen when Joe Jonas is playing his guitar and serenading Mitchie by the lake.
Yeah.
At one point, he has layered vocals. Like, there's like three layers there, but he's just sitting outside playing his guitar singing.
The other Jonas brothers like, hold are on, wait a minute. Bushes.
Yeah.
See, now that would have been brilliant.
Yeah.
How did they decide which Jonas got the starring role? Because the other two just kind of, you know, they don't really play good parts.
Okay, here's my theory, because I was thinking about this, because in the second one, Nick Jonas is honestly in the movie more than Joe Jonas. Like, Nick plays the bigger part. They're both in it, but...
You're the expert on the Joe Bros.
Of course.
I thought Nick was the heartthrob.
Well, back then, in 2008, it was Joe.
Oh.
I mean, did you see that hair?
Well,
The swoopy hair.
I get it.
It was
Joe. I get
it.
The swoopy hair.
When they got a little bit older, and they started putting out, like, edgier music.
Right.
Then it was Nick, because he looked a little bit older. He fixed that hair he had going on in Camp Rock 1.
Mm-hmm.
Then it was Nick. But... my guess is that they had to convince the Jonas Brothers to do this because they were like, we need some sort of draw for this movie, because I'm pretty sure at this point Demi Lovato had not done a lot of other stuff on Disney.
Mm-hmm.
So they needed something and someone. So they had to convince them to, and Joe is the most popular one. So it's like, okay, well, if you all don't want to be in it, then like just give us Joe and let's have Kevin and Nick for like two scenes. We'll film them in like one day, the very beginning, the very end. And you all can go. And then they saw how popular it got. And Kevin and Nick were like, whoa, wait a minute. Let us be in this one.
And they were like, sure, Nick. We'll see, Kevin.
Yeah. You'll be the star of Camp Rock 3, Kevin. When we do the promise. Third one. That we're definitely doing.
Poor Kevin.
I know.
It's tough. He's the oldest, right?
Yeah.
It's tough. Oh, yeah. It's tough being the oldest.
I still can't believe that there's one named Kevin. There's nothing wrong with the name, but it's like, no, there's not a Kevin Jonas. There's a Nick, and there's a Joe, and there's a... well, it's not Kevin.
There is Bonus Jonas. He's Frankie.
There's Frankie?
Frankie.
But he's not... Aww. He's not like the... Like one of the... Does he sing? Does he do... What is Frankie?
Yeah, what does he do?
Can you imagine being Frankie Jonas and your three brothers are so famous and you're the little teeny one that got left at home that didn't get to be in the band?
Aww,
can you imagine?
Did he want to be in the band? Do you know? call him.
Okay, here's what I think. If 2008 was like right when the Jonas Brothers had started becoming super popular and Joe Jonas was 19,
mm-hmm.
then Nick was probably only like 15 or 16.
Mm-hmm.
And Frankie is like my age. So Frankie was like 7.
Oh.
So I don't think he was old enough to be in the band yet. And then they just took off, and it's like, well, we can't add a fourth one now.
Why not?
Maybe he'll have like a like an Elizabeth Olsen, like, you know, because he had the Olsen twins, had their whole career, but now like she's big with all the Marvel stuff. You know, he could have his moment. I have faith in you, Frankie.
He had a bit of a scandal recently because he is pretty popular on TikTok, which they did a Jonas Brothers family roast that he did not come to, and all the rest of the family and all the other wives and stuff were there. So I don't know why Frankie wasn't there. There was a whole bit they did where Pete Davidson pretended to be Frankie. It was very funny. But there's something there. Frankie wasn't there. Anyways.
Well, I mean, it might just be the obvious. Like, thanks, Mom and Dad. Yeah. Why did you let the three of my brothers have this awesome career in music and you weren't ever like, include your little brother. Yeah. Don't leave Frankie out.
Especially when they broke up and then got back together when they all were adults and Frankie was like, you know, in his 20s.
Not with Frankie. That would have been a good relaunching campaign, right?
Now with Frankie.
Now with Frankie. Now with Bonus Jonas.
If we ever decide to reinvent our show again, that's what we should do. Invite Frankie Jonas on.
Now with Frankie.
Like, welcome to Still Buffering Mach 3, now with Frankie.
Love it.
He went to a like a TikToker influencer party with a bunch of those famous, like, you know, 16-year-olds that dance on TikTok and make millions and millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. And he brought a necklace that has the logo for the Church of Scientology on it and put it on them. And was like, let me like take a video of you with this cool necklace on, and didn't tell them what it was. So then he took a bunch of little short videos of all these famous TikTokers wearing the
Is he necklace. A Scientologist?
No, that was the, he's not.
Oh no.
But he was taking videos of them wearing it. And then people got mad at him because then afterwards they found out what it was and they were like, hey, now you didn't tell me that's what that was.
Yeah.
So that's kind of his brand now is like, Frankie.
He's like, Pranky.
Just Frankie?
Pranky. Like pranks.
Mm-hmm.
Pranky.
I got it.
I was hoping that I had misheard that. So said it again.
Multiple times. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
This is why Sydney likes prank. Grease too. I won't explain further.
Pranky.
That
was a bad one though. I don't like that. I do not agree with that prank.
Yeah.
I think that it's that's nothing to joke about Scientology. That's a serious business.
No. Yep.
Stay away. But also, I wouldn't joke about them because then they might like stake out your house
exactly.
and follow you around and video I don't take think you all the he's... time.
We need to get back to Camp Rock. This is not
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't want to talk about them. Anyways, Camp Rock. I want to know what you all thought because, okay, so at the end of the movie, of course, there's the big final jam, which is the mm-hmm. like the competition at the end of the camp where everyone performs and there's a winner and they get a record deal or something like that with the same label that signed the
yes.
Joe Bros, which in this movie, they're called Connect 3 is the name of their band, the Gray Brothers in Connect 3, which is a thought.
Yeah, I wonder why they didn't just say like it's just the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah, or if you want to change their name and make them like
the Gray Brothers.
Yeah, just change the last name but keep Brothers. Why Connect 3? Anyways,
the Gray Brothers would sound kind of like they're ill.
That's true.
Why are they so gray? The Gray Brothers.
Victorian.
Yeah. The Wan Brothers.
So. Obviously, there's drama, and Mitchie can't compete, which they have to do because it's too obvious. If you let Demi Lovato compete, Demi Lovato's going to win.
Right.
So, of course, they make it so Mitchie can't. But Tess is about to perform Mean Girl Tess.
Mm-hmm.
This other, basically, I'm Too Cool For You number, different song, basically, with her two backup singers, and then they get mad at her. Like, we've had enough. Done being your backup singers. And then they both perform... One of them performs with another group. One of them performs by herself. And mm-hmm. she's the one that wins, which she has a great voice. She sings a great song. But I was actually surprised that Disney Channel did this because they also let Demi Lovato come back on and sing at the end when technically the competition's over.
So right.
Like, technically the camp's over.
That was the
catch. So you can't. Yeah. But in my mind, watching it the first time, I'm like, oh, they'll like change the rules because Demi Lovato's so good. They'll make it so Demi Lovato can win. They'll make an exception for Demi. then they let one of these side characters that sings a really nice ballad win.
Well, maybe in the Disney Channel thought process, Demi Lovato gets Joe Jonas.
Gets Joe Jonas.
That's the real prize all along.
Well, she does.
The greatest prize.
She does say at the end, her mom's like, I'm sorry you couldn't win. She says, I did win. The best summer of my life.
Well, God, that's Disney.
Yep.
Now, the reason she can't, or the reason they can't compete is because of the, doesn't the mean girl, like, frames Demi Lovato for theft?
Yes. Frames Demi Lovato for stealing her charm bracelet.
Which is rough, too, since we've established that, Demi Lovato's character, Mitchie, is, like, not, I don't want to say poor.
Well, they didn't have the money for her to go to Camp Rock originally.
Right, but so in, like, Disney Channel, yeah. That's the, in those sorts of, like, teen movies, that's the, like, oh, this person is supposed to be poor by our standards.
Because it starts with her not being able to go.
I don't mean I think that this character is poor. Yes. I just mean, like, that's the movie
and we know
take
that,
on it.
We know that Tess is, like, excessively wealthy because her mom is some famous pop star or something.
Right.
Or singer.
But she doesn't get love and attention.
No. Her mom answers a phone call in the middle of her performance, and it makes her almost fall off the stage.
That's a sick burn.
Yeah. but yeah, she plants her charm bracelet in between a stack of textbooks that are in the kitchen. Don't know why there are textbooks there. They look like textbooks, I think. This is a camp. Maybe there are cookbooks. I don't know.
Maybe they're supposed to be. That would make more sense.
That would make more sense. But plants it just in between the stack of books, just right there in the middle of the kitchen. So then the director of the camp comes in and is like, oh, well, I have no choice now. It's right here. Obviously, you stole it.
I can't believe you stole it.
So
very aggressive. If you want to get somebody disqualified from a competition, like these are high stakes. We're going to frame you for theft. But the punishment is just like, oh, I guess you can't compete.
Sorry.
Yeah. And that was after already like making sure that the whole camp knew like, hey, Mitchie's only here because their mom works in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Which like they make such a big deal out of. Which I guess makes sense because this was Disney Channel in 2008 and was also a plot point in Glee when, like, Marley came.
I thought everyone, about that.
Yeah, everyone made fun of her because her mom was the cook at the school.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know why they made such a big deal out of it, but, yeah.
That's an old, like, I mean, teen movie kind of trope, though. That's true. Pretty in Pink. I mean, her mom doesn't work in the kitchen, but like that's the whole thing is like she doesn't have money. That's her character's thing.
Yeah.
It's very 80s movie reminiscent when like that would be a character trait.
Yeah.
That's everything you need to know about the 80s. In the 80s, your whole character trait in a movie could be you have money or you don't have money. That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
I was gonna say, because that like I in my real high school, there was a girl whose mom worked in the kitchen and everybody wanted to be your friend because you would get like two roles if she liked
you.
Like it was that was money in high school.
Yeah,
exactly. It is a really warped perception of what kids would care about, because if you have a hookup to like unlimited super donuts, that's awesome.
Two pieces of square pizza.
That's right. No nuggets.
Yeah.
Maybe. And then, you know, especially when you're younger, like my thought would be, does she bring them home?
Exactly.
Are you getting school pizza and rolls and dino nugs at home?
Can you imagine like if every chicken nugget Thursday turned into like chicken nugget Friday and Saturday with leftovers?
Oh, man.
Oh, my gosh.
See, I want that.
I mean, there's a dirty part of me that just wishes I was eating a big school roll with that ice cream scoop shaped mound of mashed potatoes that you dip the roll in.
Mm-hmm.
You make a sandwich. You open it up and it's the mashed potatoes, a chicken nugget, and then some of the little green beans, like the super salty green beans, and you just smush it all together.
Mm-hmm. I just want one of those big pieces of rectangular pizza.
With corn.
Yeah. with the side of corn.
The natural side. In Italy, you know, the pizza is always served with the side of corn.
This is how they do it in Naples. Yes. The home of pizza and corn.
I would like to argue, though, that I think the best number in this whole show that I don't know why it doesn't win the final jam is Hasta La Vista.
Hasta La Vista. I was going to say, can we talk about Hasta La Vista?
That song goes so hard. I don't know how that didn't win. They're on trampolines and doing choreography on there. Like, what?
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I agree. I think it's the best. I like that the whole song is sort of like... you're saying goodbye to Cam, basically, right? Like, oh my gosh, we've had so much fun. I can't believe it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very like, I hope you had the time of your life kind of song, you know? Yeah. And instead it's like, hasta la vista.
Bye.
And it's supposed to be this sort of like tough, hard song. And it's like, I can't believe it's already coming to an end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it.
That was always my favorite.
Yeah, I was partial to Hasta La Vista.
Yeah,
I like that one.
Yeah,
I kind of enjoyed the idea of a song that just proclaims I'm too cool.
I'm too cool. Also a good song. Demi Lovato's song is classic, though.
Mm-hmm.
This Is Me.
Yeah, This Is Me. Oh man, very good,
so good. I do want to tell you all, just so you can know, because I don't expect you all to ever take the time to watch it. The plot of the second movie. Because you're like, where are they going to go from here? Mm-hmm. They're all friends now. They all sing together. Demi Lovato and Joe Jonas are in love. They come back for camp next year. But uh-oh, there's a super rich, fancy rival camp that now has opened called Camp Star.
Oh, no.
And they're taking all the campers. And Camp Rock's going to have to close down because they stole all the campers. So there aren't enough campers. So, of course, Demi Lovato and all of them have to team up to be the new counselors of Camp Rock and save Camp Rock. And then it ends with a big televised competition between Camp Star and Camp Rock.
Where is this place where there are multiple
I have wondered this many times. With like professional, like, because we're supposed to believe that this guy that runs it is some sort of like producer or something. Yeah. And the Jonas Brothers are supposed to be as big in the movie as they are in real life. So they're there. So this is a big deal.
Which, like, how much were they paying him to be, like, the dance instructor or whatever?
Which is the best part, that Joe Jonas is the dance instructor.
That entire sequence where he's instructing the class, and it's just like, he's not really teaching them. He's just dancing, like, and now you're going to do this, and then this. And they just all pick it up. Like, I mean, I get it. It's a movie. It's a spectacle. Yeah. But it's very silly. Everybody get a hat.
Yeah. Hurry up. Hat and a mic.
Hat and a mic.
I also like thinking about that this Joe Jonas that we're seeing in this movie with that hair and that angst and that style, because that style they wear in the movie is like very much like how the Jonas Brothers just were in real life. That's the one that dated Taylor Swift, that broke her heart so much that she wrote like all of Fearless, all those angry breakup songs, and like half the ones on Speak Now, that Joe Jonas.
Oh wow.
Was this movie before or after that?
Because
I mean like, surely if she saw this movie she wouldn't have felt the same. Surely. Although I don't know. I mean, he's dreamy in the teen way, I guess.
So, Fearless, yeah, I mean, it came out in fall of 2008, so it had to have been before this. Because this movie came out in 2008, so, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yep.
I also love the idea that this kid, this young boy, I mean, he's a teenager, needs an image, like, rehabilitation, so he has to go to camp for that. Like, what did he do? It's like he's in rude defense.
He's too angsty to bring him back down to earth.
He wants to play his real music, which is sounds fine. I don't know.
Which sounds like all the other music.
Yeah, I was like, no, this is what I really want to play. It's like, that sounds like what you do already.
You want to play pop? Like,
you want to play the same songs you've been playing, except like an acoustic version?
You want to play the acoustic guitar? I think that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, when you sing, you already come out with three voices. You already got layered vocals when you just sing on your own. Yeah. So whatever you want to sing, man, it's fine. I would like to say I think they missed a prime opportunity in this movie for even more drama. When Tess finds Mitchie's notebook that has the song in it that Mitchie has written, and then hears Joe Jonas singing this song, like, this girl was singing this song, I gotta find her. This is the, these are the words, this is a tune, I can't get out of my head, but I don't know the song. When she goes up to perform for the final jam, why does she not steal the song?
Yeah, it's a good point.
Oh,
like, they set it up like
Mermaid moment.
Exactly. They set it up so she finds the notebook, and it's like, well, why'd you make such a big deal out of it? Because all that does is tell her, like, oh, well, Mitchie must be the one that Shane's looking for. That's the end of that plot line. You know what I mean?
Maybe because in the Disney World, like, ethics, you don't want anybody to ever be too... Well, I mean, really, like, they never want anybody to be irredeemable.
Too mean.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like...
She is redeemed at the end, of course.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm sorry, I was mean.
And like, it's the same... it's sort of like Pete... of the Mickey Mouse Club.
Oh, okay.
You know, Pete the Cat?
Sure.
Like, he's kind of the antagonist, but only kind of. He's never bad. Like, everything he does is like...
So Tess is just like Pete.
Yeah. That's Disney. That's the Disney ethics for you. Like, somebody who's sort of disruptive, but not... They're not bad. Yeah. Because nobody's bad in Disney.
Yeah.
I kind of like that, because I actually think, hey Disney, that's pretty true in life too.
Yeah.
Like,
watch the Descendants movies.
There you go.
They're all about
Sydney's
that.
The weekly idea, plug for the Descendants.
I love the. Okay, listen, I've watched all three movies many times. I have so many thoughts, and all I'm saying is they talk about that a lot. Like this idea that most bad people, quote unquote bad people, you know, are not. They're just. They have their own stuff going on and you don't understand it.
Yeah.
And that's very Disney.
Well, I think Disney's doing a lot of that lately, though. I mean, this was obviously a while ago, but right? Like, because Disney kind of set up that whole, there's an evil, wicked, bad person, and then the good people have to fight them. And that's like, oh, but wait, what if that was all not true and Maleficent was good and the Descendant movies and, oh, look, Elsa's the powerful queen, but she's also not bad, like... A lot of retconning, you know.
That's true. That's true.
Or like with Spider-Man's.
I'm just
saying. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, the bad guys in...
You know, like in the... Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. They do make her the bad guy again in the second movie, though.
Oh, really?
Oh.
She betrays them and goes to Fancy Camp Star.
That sounds right,
And though. Then comes back at the end, of course.
Well, yeah.
They're all friends again, but yeah. It is called, the second movie is called Camp Rock 2, The Final Jam. Just like in the first movie, how they have the final jam at the end.
Yeah.
Because it's the end. It's final jam.
I'm really surprised there aren't like 10 of these movies.
I am too. I don't really know what happened. I don't know if it's that then Demi Lovato started on a Disney Channel show or started making music and then wanted to do that.
Why wouldn't they have just gotten somebody new?
Well... You see what happens when they do that. Look at Mean Girls and Mean Girls 2.
Well, but I think if
you... You couldn't have done High School Musical without Zac Efron.
I think with Disney, you have such a pool of talent with those Disney Channel stars to pull from. I think you could do that because, especially with this, because I will say, like, setting a show in a high school is not new, right? Like, there's lots of shows and movies that are set in high schools. Camps people love, because I know that there are probably people listening who are like, why? I went to summer camp. What's the big deal? There are a lot of us in the country who cannot believe there are these real camps that people really go sleep at for a summer that have like real cabins and real counselors. This is not something I have ever experienced and have always been fascinated by. And it was, as a kid, thrilled to watch depicted on screen.
Yeah. I was trying to find why there was no Camp Rock 3. I think it's because Demi Lovato was doing music at that point. So
it's too bad, because I want to see Camp Rock and Camp Star face off against School of Rock.
Yes.
Free-for-all, three-way battle with Jack Black involved. Sounds pretty good.
I think it's funny when you look up and see there's an interview with the Jonas Brothers and ask them, why is there no Camp Rock 3? And Nick Jonas is the one to be like, absolutely not, no Camp Rock 3. That interview is from 2019. So 9 years after the second movie, they were like, all right, almost 30-year-old Jonas Brothers, where's Camp Rock 3?
Yeah, That's actually going to be creepy. That's going to be bad. If you've got like middle-aged people at a sleepaway camp, this is going to get weird.
Maybe they're the counselors? I don't know. They already were.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, they were in the second one. Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, if they're like my age, aren't they a little old to be counselors?
The president. Mm. They're presidents of the camp.
There you go. Own Camp Rock.
They own the camp. That would make more sense.
Yeah. They also may have broken up around the time they would have made a third one.
Mm.
There may have been no Jonas Brothers, which was all Nick's fault.
I didn't know that.
Hmm. I gotta watch the Jonas Brothers family roast.
Oh, is that your opinion or is that like?
Well, that's fact.
That's fact.
Yeah, he was like, "I want a solo career. I'm too good for you all. Bye." And he broke up the band.
Maybe Frankie's been better off staying out of that mess.
Sounds like it.
Apparently, he has a big problem with being called a bonus Jonas, which is why that's all I call him. It's just right there. It's right there.
It is right there.
It rhymes with the name.
Well, thank you for having us watch.
Thank you all for watching Camp Rock.
I enjoyed it.
It's just one of those like feel good Disney movies. It's like obviously everything's going to turn out fine. There's very mild conflict and drama. Very low stakes.
The music's great and the singing. It's fun. You know, it was fun to watch. I enjoyed it, and I will think about that keyboard performance for a long time.
She's really good.
I just kept getting distracted by the mom that's like doing the kitchen prep, just like. The inefficient situation going on in that kitchen, and also like Demi Lovato never helping her out. That's where I was sidetracked. I was just thinking about the poor mom in the kitchen. Like, she is making 200 individual nacho bowls. Like, what is happening here?
That's a camp of like several hundred kids, and she's the only one in the kitchen.
That is not. She hand cut pineapples into stars. Like, this woman needs help. When all those tortilla chips hit the ground, I was like, that's just a cost loss. I couldn't focus on the drama.
I just wanted those tortilla chips. What's next, Sydney?
Okay. I am going to do Can't Hardly Wait.
All right. I have not seen it.
You haven't seen that movie?
Nope.
I have seen it many times. Tay, I don't know if you were the fan I was.
I have seen it many times. I enjoy it. I'm looking forward to watching it again.
Yeah. Classic, like, teen party movie.
Yeah.
From days of yore.
Perfect.
Very.
All right.
Iconic soundtrack, if I remember correctly.
Yep. All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you all.
Listeners, you should check out Camp Rock and Camp Rock 2.
The final jam.
Thank you to Maximum Fun. You should go to MaximumFun.org and check out all the great shows there. You can tweet at us at StillBuff, and you can email us at StillBuffering@MaximumFun.org. And thank you to the Novellas for our theme song, Baby, You Change Your Mind.
This has been your cross-generational guide to the culture that made us. I'm Riley Smurl.
I'm Sydney McElroy.
And I'm Taylor Smurl.
I am Still Buffering.
And
I
am
two.
Because I'm too cool.
Is that all you know?
I was like, you sing a song, right? Come on, Riley.
Hi, I'm Janet Varney, and just like you, I survived high school. And we're not alone. On my podcast, The JV Club, I invite some of my friends to share the highs and lows of their teen years, like moments with Aisha Tyler.
But when you're a kid, the stakes are just pretty low. Go to school, try not to get in trouble, get laid.
Jamila Jamil.
I watched television probably every waking hour during that time when I was shit-faced on medicine.
And Dave Holmes.
We talked and talked, and then everybody left. It was just us two, and I was like, I love you.
Learn how you too can be a functioning adult after the drama and heartbreak of high school. Every week on the JV Club with Janet Varney. Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts. This is a judgment-free show.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.